And he had a dog on there that was trying to chase his tail, you know, the picture of a dog. And so many times that's the way we are. We're like a dog trying to chase their tail to figure out what it is. And he's already got a tail. So when he gets it, the tail's there, amen? So you've already got it. You have already got it. It's inside of you. So don't try to get what you've already got. That's when life becomes frustrating as a Christian, because we're trying to figure it out and work for what Jesus says we already have. Amen? Say, I've already got it. Today we're going to be talking about the goodness of God. The goodness of God. So I just want you to repeat this after me this morning. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me.
He has anointed me to hear His voice.
He has anointed me to hear His voice.
Today His goodness covers me.
Today His goodness covers me.
I am covered in the goodness of God.
I am covered in the goodness of God.
I am alive because of His goodness. I am well because of His goodness. I am blessed because of His goodness. And I'm about to know better. So I will do better. So I may have better. I'm becoming all that God has destined me to be. And I will not be stopped. Because my God is for me. What or who shall be against me? And He is good all the time.
And all the time He is good.
Amen. You receive that today? You have an anointing to hear the voice of God. Amen. You have an anointing to hear the voice of God, and His goodness covers you today. So we're going to be looking at Psalms 34 today. And it's good to look and see what has been going on in David's life at the time that he penned the Psalms. It makes more sense. You know, we read the Psalms, we get all excited about it, get stirred up about it. But what caused David to get to the place that he wrote that particular Psalms? So it's always good to go back and think, wow, that's why David can say, bless the Lord at all times. Amen? Because of what he'd been through. So before we get into the message and read that 34th Psalm today, well, I'm going to give you a little bit of a background of where David was at and had come through when he wrote this psalm. So David had killed Goliath, and he became a friend to Saul. And Saul was the king of Israel. And at one point, however, Saul became jealous of David. And his anger turned against him. He just chased him all over the country trying to kill him. So David was constantly running in fear from Saul. And David went to a place called Gath to get away from Saul. And the king of Gath was Amalek. And he was not a friend to David either. He didn't like David either. So David became afraid. He should have trusted the Lord. Amen? So there's times in our life when we don't trust the Lord. And he did not, but he made a plan of his own. How many times have we been afraid and we've come up with our own plan? You know, this is how we need to do it, God. Amen? So have you ever tried to help God out? It don't always turn out good. Now that's different than coming into agreement and putting your action into faith. Amen? So he made Amalek think he was crazy. He thought, if I can act crazy, I won't get killed. So for this reason, Amalek didn't kill David. So apparently from what I studied in those days, they did kill people that kind of acted strange. You know, that was kind of maybe different or acted like something was wrong with him. They didn't kill him. They had mercy on him, I guess. So David went away. So after that, David went away to a cave, Adullamon. I was going to get somebody to pronounce that for me, so I apologize if I'm not pronouncing that right. So, but this particular word means refuge. So even though David was running away from what was about to kill him, God placed him in a place of refuge. So we may be messing up, but God never messes up. We may have times we're afraid, but God always places us in a place where He can begin to speak to us. Amen? So 400 people went to the cave where David was at. So it's good just to have a few hundred friends. Amen? It's good to have just a few hundred friends. Amen? But God had a much bigger picture. Amen? And so I won't go into all the detail of that. That's three or four different sermons. From that experience, David penned the 34th Psalm. And this is what he said. I'm going to read the whole thing because it's so good. Amen? I will bless the Lord at all times. Now remember where David had just come from. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. The humble and downtrodden will hear it and rejoice. And he said, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us lift up his name together. I sought the Lord on the authority of his word, and he answered me, and he delivered me from all my fears. So David got into a place where he could hear God. When you are running from God and you operate in the spirit of fear, you can't hear God. So God has to provide a place of refuge for you so that he can begin to speak to you so that you can hear. And they did, and he delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant. Their faces will never blush in shame or confusion. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him from all his troubles, or delivered him from all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him with awe-inspired reverence and worship him with obedience. And he rescues each of them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord our God is good. How blessed, fortunate, prosperous, and favored by God is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, reverently fear the Lord, you his saints, believers, and holy ones. For to those who fear him, there is no want. The young lions lack food and grow hungry, but they who seek the Lord will not lack any good thing. Come, children, listen to me. I'll teach you the fear of the Lord. With awe-inspired reverence and worship him with obedience. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil, your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, those with moral courage and spiritual integrity. And his ears are open to their cry, and the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. When the righteous cry, the Lord hears and rescues them from all their distress and troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit, contrite in heart, truly sorry for their sin. Many hardships and perplexing circumstances confront the righteous, but the Lord rescues him from them all. He keeps all his bones, none of them is broken. Evil will cause the death of the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be held guilty, and will be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. There is a place of refuge. Amen. That is awesome. So we're going to focus today on that one verse in there, verse 8, that says, oh, taste and see that the Lord our God is good. How blessed, fortunate, prosperous, and favored by God is the man who takes refuge in him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. The King James says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. Have you had a good taste of the Lord lately? Somebody can tell you something about a particular food, and they can tell you all day long about it, but until you experience that taste from yourself, you don't have the testimony to give anybody else what that food tastes is like. Amen. But when you begin to experience God for yourself, you can't help but tell everybody they need to taste the Lord and see that he is good. Taste means experience. I want you to experience God and see that it is good. Experience means to encounter or have contact with. You know, you can tell somebody about going through something, but until that person goes through it or has that experience, they can't relate to you. But when you begin to experience the goodness of God, you can't help but tell somebody else about it. You can't help but say, you need to taste and see that the Lord is good. I mean, he is good. He is really good. He is for you and not against you. That's the good news of the gospel. Amen? So the Bible starts out talking about the goodness of God from the very beginning in Genesis. It starts out talking about how good God is. In Genesis, when God was creating, he would repeatedly say, look, and he would say, that is good. That's good. He made it. It was good. He saw that it was good. At one time, he did look, though, and saw that it was not good. He looked at Adam, and we all know men need a little help along the way, ladies. Amen? So he looked at Adam and said, well, it's not good for you to be alone, so he created him a wife. And so I have good news for somebody today. Whatever you may need, and you don't see it, God is the I am that I am, and he'll create it for you. Somebody needs to get that this morning. Whatever you need, he can look at you and say, you know, you're not good without that. I'm going to give it to you because you're my child and I want to take care of you. So I'm just going to create it for you. There's a name of God like that. I can't remember what is it. Is it El Shaddai? There's a name of God that says, I am that I am. And if it's not there, I'll create it for you. Hallelujah. So one time that God did that. So when God looks at your life and says, that's not good, he goes about fixing it. Amen. And God is a good fixer-upper. That's when he begins to fix you, he gives you brand new stuff. He don't give you no hand-me-downs. Amen. It's brand new. That's what restoration is. It's brand new. It ain't never been done for you. Amen. So he makes your life good because God is all about goodness, and he does not give you no hand-me-downs. God's goodness toward you is so good that if it's whatever you need, it's not there. He says for you today, I will create it. I'll make it for you. Amen. So he is the I am. Just as he created a wife for Adam, he will make what you need, whatever it may be. So in the Bible, God's goodness appears most clearly in his dealings with people. And as we begin to receive and experience the goodness of God and know that God is good toward us and that God is goodness, we begin to see that goodness, and it involves people particularly. It will cause us to be good toward others. And people need to be good toward one another. People can be hateful toward another. And I'm talking about Holy Ghost-filled, tongue-talking Christians. That will bite your head off. They apparently have not tasted and seen that the Lord was good. Because if they had it, they would get their tongue under control. Or get that filter between their brain and tongue. Because some people don't have no filter between their brain and tongue. Whatever's there, they let it fly out. Glory to God. So we can see that goodness involves people in particular in the Bible as God begins to show his goodness toward people. And when we begin to experience that goodness of God and begin to receive it and begin to walk in it, it will cause us to be good, have goodness toward other people and to help each other along the way. A little boy was hungry, and not knowing his mother had just stocked the refrigerator, opens the door, and with eyes wide open, he said, look at all that goodness. If God was a refrigerator, and we opened the door of his heart and saw him, we could say, look at all that goodness. But so many people have been brought up in church that has a wrong perception of who God is. They have been taught that you've got to work for what you've got. Amen. They have been taught that you better not say nothing or do nothing wrong or God's going to sideswipe you real good. They haven't tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Because God is not out to get you. The only reason he is out to get you, but not in the fact that you may have been raised of the way he's out to get you. The reason he is out to get you is to show his goodness, his mercy, and his grace. And he said, I've got more for you than you could have ever imagined. I just told you that I'd make it for you if it's not there. Glory to God. So have you ever been outside on a hot day and doing yard work or whatever, and it was just really hot out there, and I'm looking forward to those days. And I promise I won't complain for a month, as I said. At least maybe 2 months right now. So have you ever been outside on a hot day doing yard work or whatever, and you come inside to get something cold to drink, and the moment you open that refrigerator door, that cool air hits you in the face, and you're like, and then it gets better when you get you something cold to drink. That's the way God's goodness is. When you begin to experience and see the goodness of God, it's like opening that refrigerator door. Amen. And that guilt and shame and that all that junky stuff that you carried away, when God begins to give you a revelation of his heart, whoo, it's like opening that refrigerator door on a hot, humid day. That cool air hits you. The cool breeze of the word begins to hit you. And then you begin to find out who you are, that you don't have to be ashamed, that you don't have to walk around in guilt and condemnation. And then he says, just reach into my heart and begin to pull out my goodness and begin to drink of my word, begin to drink of my grace, begin to drink of my mercy, that I'm not out to condemn you. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. And it's like our refrigerator and our pantries at home. They get empty ever so often. And we have to go and restock. Well, I want you to know that God's pantry and God's refrigerator is never empty.
Because when you pull it out, there's just more. When you pull it out, there's just more. More grace, more favor, more blessing, more hope. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to get that this morning. Glory to God. I'm not going to quit preaching about the goodness of God. Amen. So for a moment, you just take it all in. Matthew 11 tells us about this. In the Message Bible, it says, are you tired, worn out? Religion will make you tired, worn, and worn out. Amen? Because it doesn't preach about the goodness of God. It says you get saved, you die, and hope you go to heaven. Yeah. Amen? But church, we're going to have it all when we get to heaven. I used to say the Bible was a roadmap to heaven, and it is in a sense, but the Bible is a roadmap on how we to live our life here on this earth now. Because when we get to heaven, we'll live in the fulfillment of what God has said. But we need healing now. We need blessings now. Amen? So the Bible is full of the promises of God that we are to experience now. And the goodness of God is what leads us to believe the promises of God. Woo! Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? He says, you come to me. You get away with me and you'll recover your life. Have you ever seen somebody that needs to recover their life? I'll show you how to take a real rest. When you begin to learn about the grace and goodness of God, there is a rest that will come to you that you have never experienced before. Amen? It says, walk with me and work with me. In other words, come into agreement with me, put some action to your faith, and let's walk this thing out together. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. God doesn't force anything on you. You receive it by faith because it's a gift. Have you ever tried to give a gift to somebody and they don't want it? They keep saying, nah, oh, you shouldn't have done it. But you know, we can look at God and say, yes, you did it. Right. Hallelujah. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me. God wants you to keep company with him. And you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Religion will cause you to grow weary. It will cause you to struggle. And it will cause you tiredness and to be tired. Because so many people, as I said before, have a wrong perception of God. They don't know who God really is. They've been taught that he's out to get them and just waiting for them to say or do something wrong. Yes, God is after you not to condemn you, but to show you his goodness. Jeremiah 20:11 says, I have plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Psalms 23:6 says, his goodness, mercy, and his unfailing love is following you. God's not going to let you go, so you might as well give it up. Amen. And the reason we struggle with life is because we're trying to get away from God. And he said, I'm not going to let you go. I will pursue you. I will not force it on you, but you see, God created you to serve him. That chair over there was made, those chairs in here was made to sit on. But you can take that chair and you can use it for multi-purpose things. You can stack books on it, you can stand on it. But it was made to be a chair. You were made and created in the image and likeness of God, and at some point in your life you realized that you couldn't do life any longer by yourself. So you just accepted the gift that God gave you through his son, Jesus Christ, and said, I need a Savior. I need to get reconnected back to the one that created me and quit using my life for some other purpose than what it was created for. And that is to serve God, to love everybody, to show kindness to everybody, to give goodness to everybody I meet and see. Because life's not promised us tomorrow. But we know who holds tomorrow. Amen? So quit using your life for anything else but serving God and get in line with God. Amen? So you better believe that God is after you. He is pursuing you, but not to get you, not out to get you in a bad way, but a good way. Amen? Because he has good things planned for you. You are, and you have purpose, and you have worth. And he's waiting for you to receive the invitation to receive his son as your Savior, so that you can begin the journey of having a relationship with him. It shouldn't be and does not have to be a struggle to live a Christian life. If you are struggling to live a Christian life, then you're trying to hold on to things that God says to let go. Because a Christian life is not a struggle. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. And when it does become a struggle, it is because we're trying to get something that we've already got, or we're trying to use our life other than what God has purposed us to do or to be. But a Christian life is not a struggle. It should never be a struggle. So to be a son or daughter, it does not have to be a struggle to live a Christian life, to be a son or daughter of God. The struggle comes in after we are saved, when we're born again and we become a new creation of Christ. We're given everything we need to fulfill our purpose and our destiny in Him on this earth. So the struggle starts when we try to get what we've already got and be something we're not. You cannot have God without having goodness, and you cannot have goodness without having God. So if you've got God, you've already got goodness. You just need to let go of whatever's covering that goodness up, whether it's bitterness or strife or jealousy or whatever it is that's trying to hold that jealousy with that goodness within you. Because if you've got God, you've got peace. If you've got God, you've got more than enough. If you've got God, you've got goodness. You can't have one without the other, because all of it is already inside of you. You just have to start walking in it. Get up every day and say, I have the goodness of God, and I'm going to make somebody's life today a little better. Amen. I'm going to show some goodness and kindness today. You can give everybody you meet a word from God. It don't have to be, I thus saith the Lord. It don't have to be that. But just tell somebody, you know, you're blessed and you're highly favored. You know, God's got good and great and wonderful things for you. Amen. Just give somebody a word and bless them and show them the goodness of God. So He wants you to open the door of His heart and see His goodness. And I want to read this Psalms out of the Message Bible this morning. It's so, so awesome. And we're going to close with this and pray over our prayer request. The Message Bible reads Psalms as, I bless God every chance I get. My lungs expand with praise. I live and I breathe God. If things aren't going well, we'll hear this and be happy. Join me in spreading the good news. Together, let's get the word out. God met me more than halfway, and He freed me from my anxious fears. Now, remember, David was being chased all over the countryside by somebody that did not like him and wanted to kill him. But God placed him in a place of refuge so that David could begin to hear His voice again. He said, look at him, give him your warmest smile, never hide your feelings for him. When I was desperate, I called out, and God got me out of a tight spot. God's angel sets up a circle of protection around us while we pray. Open your mouth and taste. Open your eyes and see how good God is. Blessed are you who run to Him. Worship God if you want the best. Worship opens the doors to all of God's goodness. Young lions on the prowl get hungry, but God's seekers are full of God. Come, children, listen closely. I'll give you a lesson in God worship. Who out there has a lust for life? Can't wait each day to come up on beauty. Guard your tongue from profanity. No more lying through your teeth. Turn your back on sin. Do something good. Embrace peace. Don't let it get away. God keeps His eyes on His friends. His ears pick up every moan and groan. God won't put up with rebels. He'll cut them back from the pack. Is anyone crying for help? God is listening, ready to rescue you. If your heart is broken, you'll find God right there. If you're kicked in the gut, He'll help you catch your breath. Disciples all often get you into trouble. Still, God is there every time. He's your bodyguard, shielding every bone. Not even a finger gets broken. The wicked commit slow suicide, and they waste their lives hating the good. God pays for each slave's freedom. No one who runs to Him loses out. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I like that part. It said this, if your heart is broken, you'll find God right there. If you're knocked in the gut, He'll help you catch your breath. Let's stand this morning. We're going to pray over the prayer request. And when I read that this then, I thought about the time that God said, you know, there's people that need to breathe again. When things come along in our life unexpectedly, it literally knocks the breath out of us sometimes. And we live for a long time after that holding our breath. And when you hold your breath, you begin to lose oxygen. When you begin to lose oxygen, it begins to damage your organs. And it's the same thing within our lives. When things come along unexpectedly, whether it has to do with our family or children or whatever, sometimes it literally knocks the breath out of us. And we catch ourselves living life
holding her breath, and somehow some God gets the word to us and says, you know, I need you to breathe again. I need you to just take a deep breath in the natural and just begin to breathe again so that you can have life again, so that you can live again. Because sometimes when we're in the middle of a situation or circumstances, we forget how to live. Because, and it's not that we intend to, but as we get wrapped up in that situation or that circumstance, and we forget how to live. We forget about the goodness of God. We forget that God says the joy of the Lord is your strength. So whatever's come along in your life this morning that's knocked the breath out of you, God says, I want you to breathe again. I want you to begin to believe that the goodness of the Lord is there for you. And my goodness covers you, and my goodness is for you. Amen. So let's just raise your hands this morning. If you're listening by internet today, this message now or later, or if you're here this morning and you've had the breath knocked out of you, I speak to you to breathe again today. I speak for you to breathe again today. Brad and Ashley, God's going to restore to you everything the enemy has stolen in the name of Jesus. The breath has literally been knocked out from under you, but God says you're going to breathe again. You're going to breathe again. You're going to breathe again. You're going to breathe again in Jesus' name. Whatever it may be today, church, breathe, 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 breathe. You might have to breathe for somebody for a little while through your prayers and being that peacemaker in prayers and begin to speak for things to come back into order again until they're able to breathe again. That's the intercession, church. Amen? But I speak life to situations that others says it's dead. I speak life to that in the name of Jesus. See that thing living again. See hope living again. See restoration being now made in the name of Jesus. Those things shifting in the heavenlies right now, church. There's things shifting in the atmosphere, church. Oh, shatanama lito soto kohosatea. Libra la do soto nandi dianda la la babasia. Shoya si kia sataye mamamahaya. Breathe again in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we speak to our pastors today for a fresh breath of God to even enter into that hospital room right now in the name of Jesus. Fresh breath of God to enter into that hospital room in the name of Jesus. You will breathe again. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Father, for every prayer request on the list today for healing, for restoration. Oh, Father, we thank you that you're more than able. We come into agreement with your word concerning these people's lives, that you would show your goodness toward them in these situations for salvation, for healing, for deliverance, Father God. Thank you, Father. We pray as peacemakers today. Lord, we know that the enemy is the author of confusion, but you're the author of peace. Hallelujah. And we speak peace over these things in the name of Jesus. And we praise you for it, God. We thank you that you've heard us today, Lord. And you've already gone into action to bring some things to pass, Father God. You've already gone into action rearranging some situations and circumstances, God, that it's not going to be the same, hallelujah. By this time tomorrow, Lord, we believe that you're the God of breakthrough, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. We believe that you're the God of more than enough, and we see you as that, Lord, not putting any limits on you. Amen. I speak favor and blessings over these people today as they go forth from this place, that they are the head and not the tail, that this week is a week of favor, and your favor surrounds them, Father God, that they are blessed to be a blessing, and they will see your goodness unfold before them this week, Father, that your goodness covers us. All that goodness lives within us, and it's just waiting to just go out and be goodness in this land. And we thank you for it, Lord, and we praise you and worship you today. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Father God. Oh, yes, the other day. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There's some situations. God says, I am bringing in the heavy equipment.
Those things that have not budged in the past, they are getting ready to break loose, church. They are getting ready to break loose. In Jesus' name. There's some things happening right now, church. There are some things happening right now in the spirit realm. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We've created an atmosphere of the presence of God. We have decreed and declared His Word today through praise and worship and through the preaching and teaching of His Word. We have decreed and declared some things into the atmosphere, and God has gone about. Moving some situations and things around. Amen. Amen. You all have a blessed week. Amen. 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 Thank you, ma'am.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're